down to 55.
It's time for the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health, a radio show where all viewpoints are respected. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Hello, gang. Welcome to the Brandon Groover News Hour. It's that time of year again, folks.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, folks.
Hey, happy Halloween to you.
I had it in my pocket. I had to use it.
I love it. Great theme music for today.
Yes. In my pocket, literally. Okay, on the Brandon Groover News Hour, we were out live. We were not live last week, so if we have any callers who want to chime in and speak their piece, you know, feel free. On today's show, we will discuss the coming energy crisis. The U.S. will face rolling blackouts this winter due to an unprecedented shift to renewable energy. We will also discuss President Biden's stalled political agenda and what it means for you. We look forward to hearing from you. Feel free to call in. And I don't have the phone number in front of me.
It's 904-831-0600.
One more time, Doug.
Say that again.
One more time, please.
It's 904-831-0600.
Okay, cool. So, Tom, we got Tom in the building. What's up, Tom?
Not much. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. And what's up, Doug Wilder?
Hey, I am having fun, and it's Florida, Georgia.
Yes.
Tomorrow. And then Halloween, and then the Jaguars are going to be playing at the time of the trick-or-treating, so it's going to be a big weekend.
Will it be a trick or a treat? Will they win? Okay. Okay, Tom, so let's run the first clip on the climate change. I'm sorry, the energy crisis. Yeah.
Let's cover energy prices right now as well, because that's been a huge part of the story. Brian Sullivan's here, and he's been tracking this really closely. He's got a great look for us right now at a lot of the catalysts for why this is happening. Hey, Brian.
Yeah, Becky, good morning. How much time do you have? I mean, what's not the catalyst? I mean, in the United States, obviously, we've got boosting demand. We've got reduced supply in some cases. Oil production has not gone up the level that demand has gone up. I mean, if you look at traffic statistics in many cities, we are seeing traffic now above even pre-pandemic levels. Nobody's taking mass transit. Everybody's driving. And so we are seeing gasoline demand on the rise. Well, not quite at records, but still up. But a bigger story around the world. And I think that, again, and we're not, you know, sort of harping on this too much because you can't harp on it too much. Let's talk about Europe. In Europe, they are seeing natural gas prices, in some cases, $25 or $30 U.S. dollars equivalent. Our natural gas prices, you could see there, we're down a little bit right now. We're at $5.50. So why are we at $5.50 and Europe at $25 or $30, with China, by the way, paying over $30 for liquefied natural gas? Well, it's a result of a couple of things. Number one, they didn't buy a lot of storage during the pandemic. Maybe it's because they underestimated the boom in demand coming out of the pandemic. Maybe they thought the pandemic might go on and lockdowns would go on longer. So they were short on storage already, guys. Now, all of a sudden, you're also seeing a shortage of some of the renewables, the wind power in Italy and in the North Sea, just not producing as much. So you had a shortage level because they screwed up and didn't buy enough natural gas. Then you don't have enough power coming in. And all of a sudden, you realize, oh my gosh, are we going to have enough raw materials to power the power plants? We need to start buying. Factor that in with many traders being short natural gas. You've got this huge, all of a sudden, boost in demand, short covering, margin calls. You probably have some commodity desks that got completely blown out, and now they're paying these outrageous spot rates in the natural gas and even coal markets, guys. And as I showed on Worldwide Exchange, electricity prices, at least right now, and it could be a very short-term thing, I want to be very clear on that, at like 300 euro per megawatt hour in Germany. What does that mean? Well, it's normally maybe 30 to 50. And if I'm wrong about that, have some of our European viewers tell us. The point is, This has gone from an industrial problem, power plants, manufacturing, et cetera, Becky, to an individual's problem because their rolling fixed rate contracts are coming off. You're going to open up your bill if it gets cold and be like, normally I pay 100 euro a month. Why is my bill 400 euro? It's incredibly inflationary, and it could be a macroeconomic headwind as well. All, by the way, as the climate summit is about to kick off in Scotland in a couple of weeks.
So there are a few things that we've been waiting on. One of them, there were some calls for Biden to talk about releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which it sounded like they were considering yesterday. They also talked about maybe cutting off exports to make sure we keep it all here in the United States. Would that work?
No.
Why?
Not at all. The SPR might bring down prices in the short term, but, I mean, there's not enough oil in the SPR that you could release. It's going to make a huge difference. On the export ban, this is really, really interesting because it's something I hadn't thought about. Goldman Sachs out with a note this morning on just that, Becky, and you forgive me because I'm going to read it because, again, whatever. An SPR release would bring forward the potential for restricting oil and LNG exports, keeping these hydrocarbons in the U.S. Such an action would bring the additional benefit of reducing the carbon intensity of exports, strengthening the administration's negotiation power out of discussions on the carbon border tax adjustment. Also, they said, ironically, it would be particularly bullish for gasoline and refined products because now we'd have to be a net importer of gas priced off of Brent crude, European crude, which, of course, would go up in price if we stop exporting. I thought that was really interesting for two reasons. Number one, this export ban may have nothing to do with supply, demand, or prices. According to Goldman Sachs, it may be a negotiation tactic to reduce our carbon intensity to give us a better starting point on these carbon negotiations.
Okay, gang, welcome back. Hey, Doug, so just to recap for the audience, this is what happened, folks. We had the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. Remember when the gasoline prices went negative?
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened? The economy shrank, so the production of energy shrank. But on top of that, you had all these new government regulations that came in, which penalized companies who wanted to invest in oil production. Remember the Exxon pipeline that got cut? So in a nutshell, you know, if we have a unseasonable cold winter, and normally when things can go wrong, they go wrong. Mm-hmm. If we have a cold winter this year, which I think we will because we had a very hot summer. So what I'm predicting is that in the winter, we're going to have rolling blackouts across the United States because we don't have enough energy. Several of the oil companies came out and, you know, stated just that we don't have enough storage capacity to keep the country running. I'm not saying we're going to be like, you know, like zombies and no power, but there will be issues with the power grid this year because all of that stuff that sounds good about, you know, going green, you don't have, there's nothing in existence that can replace oil and gas. And it's so funny that the administration was talking about, you know, attacking climate change. Guess what happened? Coal production is up. Mm. It's double, you know, where it was before. And coal is very dirty, nasty, you know, unclean, bad for the climate. But it shows you that you got folks that are running stuff that don't know what they're doing. Okay, we have a commercial break coming up. Marty, I see you. We'll hit you on the other side of the commercial. You got anything, Doug, you want to jump in?
Yeah, I think this is a huge topic because, you know, we fancy ourselves with thinking about how we're going to manage such things as climate change and all those things.
Right.
But if we're not keeping cool, if we're not keeping hot, that creates, and we're not getting food transported around, that creates a whole lot of other issues.
Exactly, and this is my thing too. We can talk about climate change all day. If we punish American companies who use oil and gas or whatever, the only thing that's going to happen, that production is going to go to China, where they use dirty, you know, filthy energy. So I'm in overtime. Okay, let's get the commercial break, and Marty, we'll get to you shortly.
Frito-Lay has been a proud part of the Florida community for over 60 years. Their team produces some of America's favorite snacks, including Lay's potato chips, Doritos, and Cheetos. Today, the local Frito-Lay job site provides jobs for approximately 375 full-time associates. And the company is looking to grow the team and is hiring right now for a variety of positions. Frito-Lay's benefits include a retirement plan, 401k, health care, paid vacation, and more. Pay ranges from $17.62 to $33 per hour with room for advancement. Join the team at FritoLayEmployment.com. That's FritoLayEmployment.com. PepsiCo and its Frito-Lay division are an equal opportunity employer. Female, minority, disability, protected veteran, sexual orientation, gender identity.
Let's get back to the Brandon Groover NewsHour, sponsored by Elite Home Health. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Okay, Doug, we're back. Hey, Doug, you and I were just having a conversation off air. Mm-hmm. And you know how they say one man's pork is another man's job.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just thinking about something real quick. If we go clean, if we reduce cars, if we go high speed rail, just think about this for a second. Look how many General Motors people, Ford people, or Chrysler people you'll be putting out of work.
Yeah.
If we all decide to give up our cars, you know, and hop on bullet trains, you know, think about all the import export workers at Jaxport who bring in cars.
Sure.
You know, and move cars around the world. So we're not thinking about that. See, if we move towards a European-style economy, Europe, even during normal times, their unemployment rate is always 8%, 8% or higher.
Really?
And if unemployment is 8% in America, that means black unemployment is 16%. It's always double the national average. Uh-huh. So, you know, it's just, I just laugh at these folks who are talking about, who want to save the world, but you're doing more damage to the world than you know.
Unintended.
But you know, I always say, pain is pain. Whether you meant to shoot me or not, it still hurts. Okay, Marty, jump in, my man.
Marty, you there?
Hello.
What's
okay,
up, Marty?
Good.
We can hear you now. We can hear you, Marty. Earth to Marty.
The most important thing on my mind and everybody else's mind should be, I'm sorry for your loss. We were told last week that your grandmother died. Is that correct?
Yes. She passed away. Yep. Thank you, Marty.
Okay, that's the most important thing.
Thank you.
Because you are the man. You're the one who makes this program happen. Okay, second of all, let's go back in history. Jimmy Carter, when he became president, the first time that was in 73, January of 73, that was the first time that gas ever went above a dollar a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a dollar a gallon under whatever it was, Nixon or whatever, but it went over a dollar a gallon. Thank you to Democrats. Mm-hmm. Next of all, this is a problem. This, to me, is like the equivalent of the Dutch boy putting his finger in the dike, trying to keep the North Sea from coming through the dike,
right,
and leaks keep on popping up. If this president that we have now didn't cancel what Donald Trump accomplished, when Donald Trump was president, we were, besides being energy efficient, I think we were a net fuel exporter.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then this guy came in, and he ruined everything. And then second of all, when they talk about this stuff about, well, when you were talking about coal, as far as I know, when coal is used, they have certain devices, like an afterburner, that makes sure that every bit of it is burnt.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing about coal, that dirty coal, is they use coal to make industrial vinegar used for cleaning, and a lot of, like, polyesters and synthetic fibers and stuff. So coal isn't just used for heating, but this, going back again in history, when Obama said that he was going to kill the coal industry, a lot of people in rural Pennsylvania and West Virginia, they made, coal miners supposedly make good money. All right, but anyway, the thing about it is, this guy is destroying this country, and there is no such thing as an energy problem. I talk to people in the streets. Almost every little car out there is getting 40 miles to the gallon. Hyundais and whatever, the Toyota Prius, a lot of people are buying cars that are getting good gas mileage. So this is a lot of nonsense. And as far as I want to tell everybody, if you live in this area, you go down 207 towards Hastings, and there's a big field where there's a, I think you call it a solar panel farm, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is for the environmentalist, it kills birds. So this is all a smoke screen. It's a red herring. I think it's, and I'm not going to say Marty Miller thinks it's baloney, but it is baloney as far as all sensible people. What about Romania, where Hitler used to get his oil from the oil fields of Ploiești, Romania? Do they have an oil problem over there? So I think that this is just, they want to make the United States into a third world country, and they're doing a pretty good job. Whether it's the guns who go and kill people, it's not the people who pull the triggers or whatever. It's all a bunch of nonsense. And I want to tell everybody who voted Mr. Biden, it's your fault that we have this problem, because we're turning into a third world country, and we shouldn't be like that. Anyway, thanks for letting me talk, and God bless America and the Brandon Grover Show.
Okay, thank you, Marty. Thank you. And I know it was crazy is how fast everything went left.
Yeah.
This is...
Well, on the first day, how many executive orders were signed?
Yep.
Yeah, and changes things very quickly.
Yep.
I was curious about what Marty was saying, that... it's not just a fact checked. I just want to get my facts checked. Solar panels kills birds. I hadn't heard that before, and I was wondering. So I'll be checking on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, check it out.
But yeah, great points that Marty's made.
The PETA people are outside protesting. Huh?
Yeah,
okay. Well, thank you, Marty. Thank you. Okay. What else you got? Doug, you got anything else over there?
No, I think it's a great point, and I think you've made some predictions here with the energy shortage and the power grid issues for this winter. So I'm going to hold you to those.
Hold me to it. I hope I'm wrong.
I hope you're wrong.
I hope to God I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But hopefully this will give the administration time to get their ducks in a row to kind of start. Mm-hmm. They said they were going to think about releasing the strategic reserve or whatever, you know, do whatever you need to do to make this right. But what I will say is this, sometimes you got to realize when you've made it.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a country where back in the day, people would die and get pneumonia from being cold, mm-hmm. you know, from not having access to heat.
Yeah.
Okay. People would die from heat exhaustion.
Right.
We've gotten to a point where we can at least be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
When a person's AC goes out, that's a crisis.
It is.
Right? So my point is, okay, we've got to a point to where, you know, the society, we're making people comfortable. And now we're getting to a place where people will be uncomfortable, not because we don't have the resources mm-hmm. or the money, but because we don't want to use the resources that the good Lord gave to us, mm-hmm. which makes entirely no sense. And what I will say to the people who voted for the Democratic Party, from what I heard in my community, they wanted to, you know, see things done to lift people up. The mantra was not climate change and all this stuff. So Joe Biden, President Biden, if you're listening, focus on the people who put you in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
They're not asking for this. This is, you know what I'm saying? This is not what the election in 2020 was about.
Yeah. Yeah, so when you say that people just want to be comfortable, it's amazing how we've shifted. You know, mm-hmm. there was a time when we didn't have air conditioning.
Right.
You don't remember this.
Before my time.
Before your time.
I would have died.
Yes, that's right. So there was no air conditioning.
Right.
And then we, but then we became, so I think part of the concept is we were safe. And then the next step is then we get to be, after safety, we then look for the other hierarchy of needs.
Right.
And so then comfortable comes to a certain point. We used to have brownouts all the time.
Right.
But we haven't had those.
Right.
JEA had a very bad name back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And then by the 70s.
Before my time.
Yeah, before your time.
I made the world better. Yeah, when I got here, all this stuff stopped. 85.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Appreciate that.
I'm doing my best to hold it together. I'm trying.
Great job. That's good. That's very good.
Well, good points. So, good yeah. points. Good points. Okay, so we have a caller in the queue. Hey, Jim, jump in. Okay, Jim, we're ready.
Hey, how you doing there, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good.
First time listener. Enjoy your candid comments about everything.
Thank you, my man.
And, yeah, you're welcome. I think what you had made a comment earlier about who voted for, who is in Washington right now.
Mm-hmm.
The election was skewed. We all know that. You know, mail-in ballots with no identifications and everything were counted in the whole nine yards. But at this point, they're not going to change anything. They refuse to do what Trump did in 3.5 years. I'm in the construction business, and we were booming so fast that we couldn't keep up with it. Mm-hmm. And now we see a little bit of a slowdown, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think our slowdown will go longer than until we get him back out of office. They're not going to do anything. Nobody wants to give him credit for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And you look around Jacksonville, St. Augustine. I live in St. Augustine. And there's so much building going on down there right now, it's incredible.
Yep.
But, you know, this guy, he I don't think he knows really where he's at because of his dementia, and I really don't think he's ever going to salvage anything. So, you know, they want to pass this big bill and spend $1 trillion. I got 5 grandkids. All 5 of them are going to be paying 40 to 50% taxes.
Yep.
When they're my age.
Yep.
And it's ridiculous. And I just think that, hey, he ought to step down. Get out of the way, okay, and just let the country go on, because the spirit of America is what's going to come through and carry us through, just like it did through Jimmy Carter, and just like it did through other presidents who failed when they got into that office.
Yep, I agree.
And you keep up your candid comments. I enjoy listening to it because there's no smoke and mirrors.
Thank you.
A reality talk show.
Thank you, my man. And Jim, you feel free to call. You know, anytime, my man, thank you for your input. We got to go pay some bills. Pepsi wants to shout out the sponsor these days. So anything in closing, Doug?
I just looked up, and Marty was right, that there are lots of articles about how birds are flying into, thinking that the solar panels are lakes.
Ouch.
And they fly into them and they're dying. So ouch. I hadn't heard about that. Thank you, Marty, for enlightening me.
Save the birds.
Yeah.
I better not laugh about this. Them PETA people are a trip.
Yeah, that's dynamite. True. That's
maybe,
true.
Maybe they could put like an owl. You know, like an owl image yep. near
yeah,
the bird.
Yeah, sure.
Let's save the bird.
Yeah, the hoot
don't
owl.
Don't shoot a bird. Save a bird.
I love it.
Okay, let's go to commercial.
Good.
AM 600 and 101.1 FM, the conservative voice of Jacksonville, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Queen Elizabeth II has been advised to rest for at least the next 2 weeks. Accepting the doctor's recommendations to take on only light duties and not travel, that according to Buckingham Palace. The decision comes days after the 95-year-old sovereign underwent medical tests and spent the night at London's King Edward VII's hospital, her first such stay in 8 years. Elizabeth has continued to work since then and will press on with desk-based duties, but will skip the November 13th Festival of Remembrance at the Royal Albert Hall in London, an event meant to honor the British and Commonwealth men and women who have fought wars, disasters, and pandemics to protect and defend the nation. On Wall Street, the Dow by 89 points, the NASDAQ rose 50, the S&P advanced 8. More details at srnnews.com.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good day, I'm Patrick Johnson. Governor Ron DeSantis and the Attorney General announcing a new lawsuit against the Biden administration. This time it's over a vaccine mandate for all workers of companies with federal contracts. The governor said the mandate for federal workers could have a negative impact on Floridians.
We are not going to deny people the ability to earn a living based on their decisions about an injection.
A deadly accident earlier today on I-295, backing up traffic for a bit. JSO says the fatal wreck involved a pickup truck and a semi. One of the biggest dogs ever in Jacksonville ahead of the Florida-Georgia game this weekend, but it'll cost you a lot of cash to see him. Jacksonville's mayor and Kent Sturman hosting a private dinner with Herschel Walker at an undisclosed location. You have to be willing to pony up $5,800. It is a fundraiser that the mayor posted on his Twitter account Thursday. Top-ranked dogs and gators play at 3:30 Saturday. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
It's heavy on U.S. 17 southbound from Kingsley Avenue over the Doctor's Inlet Bridge. Northbound U.S. 17, it's congested from the 295 West Beltway up to the Ortega River Bridge. The East Beltway is busy both directions from I-95 all the way to Butler Boulevard. The forecast for Jacksonville, cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-50s. For the weekend, sunny days and 75, clear nights down to 55.
Hi, I'm Mark Kinder, owner of Affordable Water. We've been in business since 1989. Trust a company that has a proven track record of good service selling top quality equipment. Affordable Water is a licensed contractor. We install water treatment systems that work. Beware of false claims being made by some companies about no salt water softening. The National Water Quality Association states there is no test to prove they work. True soft water makes you feel clean and can be tested as soft. Affordable Water, 262-0197. 262-0197. License number W32.
Okay, some good news during a challenging time for everybody, and this could really help. You may know hundreds of thousands of people have already made the switch to MediShare, which is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And with so many people looking at how they pay for healthcare right now, seeing premiums going up or the cost of COBRA plans, MediShare has a special offer and a lot of people are taking advantage of it. Simply apply by October 30th and they will waive your new member fee. That's $170 savings. And of course, that's just a start. The typical family saves $500 a month after making the switch. MediShare is a Christian community that has shared over $4 billion in medical bills, and it's worked beautifully for decades. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to get your additional savings. Here it is. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE, 844-55-BIBLE.
Let's get back to the Brandon Groover NewsHour, sponsored by Elite Home Health. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Okay, gang, welcome back. I was going to throw the Halloween thing in here, but I was moving too slow. Okay, so well, I guess what we're talking about is scary enough. I'm joking. Okay, so we have Darren on the line. Darren, jump in. Don't just stand there, bust a move. What's up, Darren?
Hello?
What's up, my man? Jump in. How you doing? I think we lost Darren. Okay, Darren, call back. Okay, any closing remarks?
Yeah, Jim at the last time was talking about Biden needs to resign, and then over the then we heard over the news that Queen Elizabeth is having some difficulty, and so I'm thinking, how is it that
God bless her, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. And it's too soon to be planning her for her demise.
Right.
But if she should resign or otherwise abdicate mm-hmm. Then does it go to King Charles? Go to Prince Charles?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then it goes to William.
But if I was the Queen, and she don't call me no more.
Yeah.
She used to call me back in the day.
Yeah.
But if I was her, for PR purposes, I would overskip Charles and give it right to William and Kate.
Yeah, there you go. All right, good.
Nope, I mean, Camilla doesn't have the juice.
That's true.
I'm just saying. You ain't got it.
That's right. So true.
No offense,
so
Camilla. You ain't got it. Yeah. Okay, so Darren's back. Okay, Darren.
Hey.
Okay, jump in, my man.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good.
Okay, I wanted to give a call. I am not not against Biden. I'm not against Trump. I'm was a senior finance analyst for years.
Okay.
And I know where the economy is going. The economy is going to go down pretty fast because mm-hmm. there's too much commercial on the one side.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at it, Trump spent $8 trillion, gave away $2 trillion to his friends, the one percenters.
Mm-hmm.
Biden hasn't done any of that. He hasn't given away any money to any of the big people. He tried to go after the big people, but he can't get them. That's the way our economy runs. Now, as far as solar,
mm-hmm.
I put solar on our house where I live,
mm-hmm.
and I was paying about $350 a month annually.
Mm-hmm.
And with the solar up there, I pay $10 a month, and I get back money from Clay at the end of the year.
Okay.
Plus, I get a nice little bonus from the government because they're trying to cut down on
I think his phone went out, but I get his point. What he's saying is, my man, your phone went out, sir. But basically what he's saying is, he's talking about the merits of solar.
Yes.
That when it's done through the market system, the market economy is done the right way.
Sure.
There is some cost savings.
That's
so,
right.
You know, I can agree with that if it's done the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yep.
You're not opposed to innovation.
No, I'm not opposed to innovation at all. And even with solar, you still have natural gas as a backup.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to try to move away to say, okay, by a king's decree, thou shall not use oil or gas.
Right.
You know, because the economy, capitalism will take care of itself. It
mm-hmm.
always have. Innovation will always, you know, like the cars, like earlier, we were talking about how many miles a car now gets per gallon. You know, back in the day, where a car would get like 5 miles, 8 miles a gallon, now mm-hmm. a car can get up to 40 miles a gallon. You got Teslas out there. You have, you know, all these, Chevy Volts, all these cars that are less, you know, oil dependent. So I'm all about innovation, but it needs to be done from the bottom up, not the top down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like socialism at all. So, Tom, let's hit the clip. You got a caller?
Well, Shep, the sentiment I'm hearing from Democrats on Capitol Hill is that they just want to get this done already. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer told reporters the talks have come down to a handful of issues.
Progress of last week illustrated if we stick together, work towards finding that legislative sweet spot, then we can get big things done for the American people.
But the sticking points are still pretty big, too. Clean energy is one of them, how to handle incentives for utilities to go green, and penalties for companies that don't. Paid family leave is still up in the air. The White House had agreed to go down from 12 weeks to 4, but that might still be too long. Expanding Medicare benefits, that's another, as well as how to raise money to pay for all of these programs. Democrats are considering a new tax on billionaires. It would only affect about 1,000 people, and it would kick in when their stocks or assets go up in value, even if it's just on paper, and they don't actually have the money yet. Republicans are calling this a harebrained scheme. But moderate Democratic Senator Joe Manchin today signaled support for finding ways to ensure the wealthy pay their fair share. Now, he still doesn't want the package to cost more than $1.5 trillion, but even he was optimistic about the prospect of a deal.
We're all working in good faith. I've been talking to everybody, as you know, and I think that we've got a good understanding of each other now, better than we've ever had.
Now, Shep, this is the same position that Democrats were in exactly 1 month ago, and they're hoping history doesn't repeat itself.
Okay, we're back, gang. So basically that piece, and I meant to give the prelude to the clip, basically that clip was explaining where the Democrats were as far as trying to move forward mm-hmm. with the human infrastructure bill. Now, check this out. You had two bills we're talking about. You had the first infrastructure bill that is more like traditional, bipartisan infrastructure, because we need roads and bridges, and we need clean water, and we have ports that need to be dredged. So I'm not with the crew that is saying, hey, no government spending, because roads don't build themselves. Doug, you want to get rid of the highway trust fund?
No. Well, first of all, so many of the infrastructure is built on the state level, not
right.
on the federal level.
Right.
But there are federal needs that we, as a people, over time have said, okay, yeah, we're going to secede. We're going to cede this power and duty and function to the federal government.
Because what normally happens, right, what the federal government does, like I-95, yeah. The federal government built I-95, and then the states fund 90% of the cost to keep it maintained, yeah. And the feds come in with the 10%, you know, overhang. So mm-hmm. It's kind of like a public-private partnership / state, local, all that mm-hmm. good stuff. So basically what I'm getting at, we had a bill, a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill that was passed a month ago by the U.S. Senate. The Democrats in the House won't pass the bill because they're trying to hold the country hostage in order to pass the $5 trillion bill. But thanks to Sinema, whose name I always murder on the mm-hmm, show, mm-hmm. Sinema and Manchin, they've been unable to finagle it. So they're having to cut that bill down from the dreaded $5 trillion. So I'm hearing $1.5 trillion. Mm-hmm. So for all of the Republicans who feared a massive takeover, I think Joe Manchin has proved, you know, to kind of be like saving the light at the end of the tunnel.
I think we're going to have to take a careful look at what's in the 1.5 or 1.8 also, mm-hmm. because as I understand it, the IRS overreach is still
about
in
that.
There.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that there's some other things that I've heard are still in the smaller bill. Okay, they maybe shorten the time period. Instead of looking at 10 years, they look at 5 years or
right.
3 years.
Right, right. Now, Joe Manchin came out and said he would not vote for any bill that would allow the IRS to go after any accounts mm-hmm. at the $600 level. But while we were off, the government came, the IRS came up with new regulations saying that they will put pressure on PayPal, Zelle, Cash App, and those other platforms to report any transactions at $600 or more. So, ouch.
They got you in no,
yep.
some way or another.
Yep, yep,
yeah.
yep, yep. So if and this is another thing we need to talk about too. Since it's Halloween, the debt ceiling debacle, it was pushed back. So basically, the government has spending power until December the 3rd. Remember that? There has been no negotiations between the Democrats and the Republicans on how to resolve the debt ceiling issue. So what that tells me is we're going to be in another rut in December. Hey, we can cut the commercial. We can bypass the commercial on this one. Mm-hmm. We're going to have an issue where that same issue we had back in October, you know, the October 18th, mm-hmm. the sky's falling.
Yeah.
That will be back. Well, I'm going to take the caller and then we'll jump back in. That's Darren, right? Okay, Darren, jump in, my man.
Yeah, I'm here. I got an intro. Wow, cool. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. Yeah, with regards to all the socialist stuff and, you know, the spending and the Green New Deal, you know, it's interesting when you actually look at socialist countries like, for example, Venezuela. Are they environmentally friendly?
No, they're on the dirty, they're on the dirty oil as well.
Yeah, well, they're completely environmentally insane. So if they want to fix a socialist country, why don't they go down there and fix that country? The other thing with that is it seems like all they're trying really to do is take control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're using this environmental idea as a means to make us feel sorry about how we're treating the environment.
Right.
And then in doing that, they take control. Now, with regards to the solar panels, it's not just birds running into solar panels. It's also birds flying through there. It's like an oven.
Mm-hmm.
And so when birds fly between the solar panels or go through the solar fields, they're like being cooked while they're flying.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're completely environmentally unsound. And I'm kind of curious, and this is something. Did y'all see the news today about Elon Musk has more money to – or has – enough money to buy just about every professional football, basketball, you know.
Yeah, I've seen that his net worth is projected to hit $300 billion with a B.
Yeah. So that means Tesla has been selling like crazy. What's going to happen with all these batteries that Tesla's they're not reusable. So are they going to end up in a landfill leaking all kinds of chemicals in the future? The idea of these electric cars is so new that we don't know the long-term effect, and it's going to come back to haunt us in the long run because they're going to become more environmentally damaging than just using a gasoline-powered car.
Right, I agree. And the thing I never understood about the electric cars, you're charging the car on the energy grid. I never understood that. Like, you know, you're not getting away from, it's not clean energy. You're still charging, you're plugging the car up into the system, into the grid. So mm-hmm. you're still on the
which
system.
Is powered by gas.
Right. So I never
back
understood
in
that.
Back in the 80s, they had a hydro car.
Mm-hmm.
They actually developed it, and he drove it to Washington to show that it worked, everything was good, and then the patent was bought out from under him, and it ended up in the scrapyard.
Yep, I heard about that.
And so there's ways to be environmentally friendly without the means that we're going, the direction we're going. But it has to boil down to, we got to go back to giving people choices, giving them the information,
right.
Let them make the decisions for themselves instead of trying to take control. Because now what I'm seeing more than anything also is I'm thinking that the Democrats are actually afraid of last year's riots.
How so?
Well, they're letting four progressives, that are tied to a lot of the people, the Antifa groups and the Black Lives Matter groups. You know, those four senators and senators are basically running the shots right now.
You know what I think it is, Darren? I think it's more they're getting whipped in primaries. Like AOC came to power, she beat a moderate Democrat, and a lot of the people who they knocked off were at one point Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer used to be a moderate, but when AOC threatened to challenge him in the primary to take him out, that's when they went hard left. If you all remember, like, let's use the Tea Party as an example. Remember, you all would call them rhinos, Republicans in name only. And then when the Tea Party came to power and started taking out Republicans in primary, then the entire Republican Party kind of shifted to the right. It's the same thing happening now in the Democratic Party.
But if Nancy Pelosi was smart, she would actually let them put it on paper that they won't vote for. You know, in other words, put the vote out there. Let the people see that these progressives are really truly holding stuff up, and holding the country hostage.
Yeah, but
if they don't do it, they're just losing. They're losing more and more power because the Democrats are being blamed for everything that the progressives are doing in their party.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, I'm with you, Darren. Thank you, my man. But you know something?
Yep.
The infrastructure bill that they tried to pass, the progressives balked. And, you know, I think Pelosi only has like six seat majority in the House. Mm-hmm. So though I think like 9 of the progressives voted no on the infrastructure bill, and that's why it didn't pass. So you have this infrastructure bill that was passed almost 2 months ago that's still sitting there collecting dust.
Yeah, they're refusing to vote on it. It's the progressives that are saying they will not vote unless they pass this other bill.
Yeah, the big one, the $5 trillion.
Human infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so Nancy Pelosi is afraid of putting it up for vote because she doesn't want to be seen as not having the control of her party.
Right, and you all also know that Nancy Pelosi, it has pretty much been forced out of leadership. Because when she was running for re-election in the House, they made her sign a contract that she would not run again. So she would be forced to retire at 80. But thank you, Darren. I got a call up behind you, my man. So Pelosi's on her. Pelosi's. You all think Pelosi was bad. Wait, you see what's coming up next behind her. Okay, Tom, we got a call. Thank you, Darren. We got a call up behind us.
Hey, Tom.
You have another caller. So this is what I'm saying. So, you know how a lot of Republicans are like, you know, Do you miss Trump now? Mm-hmm. A lot of Republicans are going to miss Pelosi, too. You can't see it now, but you will later. Okay, whoever the call is, I can't see you. Just jump in.
Okay, so that's me?
Yep, you're live, my man. Jump in.
Hey, so I think I'm a registered independent. So okay. I voted for President Obama once, and the first time.
I voted for him twice.
Yeah, I voted for Clinton. You know, so I just think I'm a 55-year-old black man.
Mm-hmm.
I just think we got to stop. Black people got to stop falling for the okie doke. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to offer us something. As whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you got to say, this is what we're going to do that's going to help black people. What Democrats always do, mm-hmm. whether it's mayoral or whether it's gubernatorial or whether it's presidential, mm-hmm. their strategy is always the same. It's always, let's say the other person that's running against us is a racist.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the black people will vote for us. And so instead of people running off of the facts, what's happening and what's going on and what legislation is being passed and mm-hmm. what people want to do, it's all just, we're going to vote against this person because they're a racist. And we know that the mainstream media always just backs up the Democrats and says, yo, yeah, they're a racist. So, I mean, I don't care who's in office, but it really pisses me off that my people don't vote based on results and based on policies and based on platforms.
Yep.
We just fall for the okie doke.
Did you hear the show last week?
They just say, "Yo, he's a racist."
Did you hear?
Okay, cool.
Did you hear the show on last week? We did a show last week, kind of on the same topic.
Nah, I didn't hear that one. But I'm just saying, if we stop falling for the okie doke, I don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican. Just vote based on facts, and
yep.
don't stop voting just because somebody said they were a racist. Look at the fact. Look at what's being done. Look at the platform. Look at what's happening. Instead of just saying, well, he's a racist, so we got to vote against him. You just fall for the same stupid stuff every time. It just makes me mad, yo.
Yeah, I feel you, my man. Like I said, I wish you could have heard the show last week because we broke it down to the science. But what I will say is this, and nothing's changed. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. The Democratic Party has been running the same game, even on white voters back during slavery. Just think about this for a second. Why would you support slavery if you are a non-slave holding white person? But the way they were able to do that was because they were able to convince, with the Democratic Party, it's running the same game today. They're able to get you to vote against your interests by running on race. So anytime you run any policy based on race, and you're not looking at policies and economics and numbers, you're going to always end up voting against your own interests. And that's what I've been advocating for from day one on the show. But at the same time, I always tell Republicans, the Republican leadership, that African Americans don't want anything different. I know what the talking heads may say, but if you go to the African Americans in the inner city, they pretty much want, you know, safe communities, decent schools, the same, you know, the same thing, yada, yada, yada. But the thing is, the Republicans have to do a better job communicating with black voters as well. And, you know, and that's why we have this platform to kind of try to, you know, voice what the real issues in the urban community are. And we try to tie them to the same issues that affect black voters in the inner city are the same issues that affect white voters in the Rust Belt and all over the country. So we try to marry those things on this show so that folks and politicians can formulate policies and figure out how to have a dialogue with different groups. Yeah, got anything else, my man?
Nah, brother, I appreciate your program, man. Thank you.
You feel free to call in anytime and chime in. Thank you.
All right, man.
Thank you. But yeah, Doug, we did that show, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. on last week, yeah. you know, talking kind of the same things, you know, on how, because the thing is the Democratic Party controls the news media.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I realize in America, first of all, I don't, you know me, for years before, you know, I've always been kind of bipartisan because mm-hmm. I pretty much, This is what I know about American history. When black folk were voting in the Republican Party was for civil rights and for social justice and all this other stuff. And then we started going 100% into one party. I feel that it's a disservice to any group to be 100% in one party because you lose leverage. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think from a political strategy standpoint, I think African Americans are doing themselves a disservice by being 100% in one party. Because guess what? In any relationship, if I know that I have your devotion, no matter what I do or what I don't do, you're not my priority. Mm-hmm. And this is what happened. You know, the African American community were one of the main, number one, when Biden was losing the primaries, it was the black community that saved him. Mm-hmm. And it was the black community in Georgia with Stacey Abrams that got the two Senate seats and, you know, and saved his presidency. And guess what? $30 billion cut from HBCUs. You know, look at how the Haitians were treated coming up here. So my point is, people, that when you're doing the same thing and you want different outcomes, that's the definition of insanity. And, you know, Obama ran on hope and change. I think the community needs to figure out a way to change strategies to try to get something different. You know, President Trump, I'll say it on the air, he did more for the black community. And I don't have the time to go line by line. But if you call in next week and want to challenge me on it, I have the facts. But he did a lot for the black community. But the media ran all this racist stuff to, you know, to scare people into voting a certain way, you know. And you see what we got now. No George Floyd bill. And what's funny, the Republicans passed the police reform bill that got blocked by the Democrats and nothing has happened. So it's just crazy. But we can't solve the world in one show. But we'll be back next week to try.
Great.
Thank you. Happy Halloween, folks. Stay safe.
Happy Halloween.
Stay safe.